John Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Hurricane Beryl made landfall between Galveston and Corpus Christi, Texas, 2 hours ago as a dangerous Category 1 storm with torrential rain and winds up to 80 miles an hour. Sharon Trower is with the Brazoria County Emergency Management.
We are continuing to get information and reports of damage from our local jurisdictions, which include power outages and trees down throughout the county.
Correspondent Janet Shamlian is near Houston.
The rains are lashing. I can see the trees blowing. There are power outages already in Sugar Land, but we're not impacted by them yet. And it just looks like a very, very bad storm.
Power outages up to more than 320,000 customers right now. The Justice Department says Boeing has agreed to plead guilty to a criminal fraud conspiracy charge in connection with its two MAX 737 crashes that killed more than 300 people. Correspondent Robert Legarry.
CBS News has learned that the deal came together after federal prosecutors concluded that based on current statutes and evidence, they could not prove at trial beyond all reasonable doubt that Boeing was criminally responsible for the MAX crashes.
As part of the deal, Boeing has to pay hundreds of millions of dollars in fines and invest in new safety programs. The Joe Biden watch continues, with voters waiting to see whether he answers his party's growing call to drop out of the presidential race. These women in Pennsylvania are split.
He's a fantastic man, and he's done wonderful stuff, but it's time for him to leave.
The party should stand up, stand behind him, and stop all the rhetoric and backbiting.
Mr. Biden defiant in yesterday's campaign stop in Harrisburg. Russian missiles have killed several people and hit a children's hospital in Kyiv. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
Crowds of people gathered at the hospital to help remove the rubble, and a new explosion sent many of them running. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky blames Russia for the attack on the children's hospital and other targets with more than 40 missiles. It was the biggest bombardment of the Ukrainian capital in months.
Our parent company at CBS has agreed to a multi-billion dollar merger with Skydance Media. Correspondent Jolene Kent.
Sherry Redstone said in an email to employees late Sunday that she expects the deal to be completed in the first half of next year, pending regulatory approval.
Pittsburgh Pirate rookie Paul Skeens makes history. He's the first player to be taken number one in the draft, then named the MLB All-Star team the following year. The game is a week from tomorrow. S&P futures down 2. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A defiant President Biden tells a Wisconsin audience he's running and plans to win again.
I'm staying in the race. I'll beat Donald Trump.
The president concedes he had a bad night in last week's debate.
I'm not letting one 90-minute debate wipe out 3.5 years of work.
Biden told a crowd of about 1,000 supporters in Madison that Donald Trump is a convicted felon and a threat to democracy. The state Supreme Court is handing Wisconsin Democrats two big victories. Justices ruled election clerks can use ballot drop boxes as they see fit in this year's elections. Also, the court ruled the legislature's Joint Finance Committee overstepped its authority when blocking some of Governor Evers' actions. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers get a W in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Dodgers 9-2 in Los Angeles. That snapped a Brewers 7-game losing streak at Dodger Stadium. The crew with home runs from Christian Yelich, catcher Eric Haas, and center fielder Blake Perkins on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Ah, Perkins, left field, deep and out of here. Blake Perkins, that's a smooth operator. 5-2 Brewers on Perkins. Perkins homer.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy on Blake Perkins' performance Sunday.
Of course, you got to mention Perkins. Three hits, three RBIs, big homer to extend the lead. Great effort. A lot of guys, great effort.
So the Brewers return home for a game against the Pirates tomorrow night. The Chicago Cubs lost again 7-0 to the Angels at Wrigley Field. A frustrated relief pitcher, the Cubs' Colin Brewer, punched a dugout wall after giving up three runs in one inning. Brewer is now on the 60-day injury list. He broke his left hand. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible today. It'll be mostly cloudy with a high right around 80. Rain, maybe 1 to 2 tenths of an inch by the time it winds down this evening. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 67. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
When President Biden wanted to set the record straight, he called Civic Media Network's Earl Ingram Show.
So I screwed up. I made a mistake. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years.
Hear the complete conversation now at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning and welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, and brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 7:06 and nice to have you here on this Monday morning, July 8th, back at it. After the long holiday weekend, we will talk this hour about political mischief. There's all kinds of ways to engage in it, whether you're rigging the maps or obstructing voting rights. But there's also abusing the referendum process, and that's certainly happening yet again with the Wisconsin Constitution and a quiet power grab by Republicans. We will talk about that. Also, we'll take your calls at 855-75-CIVIC. 855-75-CIVIC, or you can text us your thoughts on the headlines and everything going on. We also have social media where you can put a comment there, and we'll see it on Facebook or YouTube. We'd be happy to take you along on the show here. Let's see, from Rob over in Tigerton, we've got good morning. It's partly cloudy, 63 degrees. It was a busy weekend mowing lawns. I saw the Manawa story, thoughts and prayers to the people of Manawa recovering from Friday's floods and the dam breach. Notes that his uncle Don passed away over the 4th of July weekend. Our condolences to you there, Rob. He also, in mentioning our music segment last hour, said he loves the Go-Go's. My favorite song from them was Vacation, when it was a popular song in 1982. To which Roger replies on Facebook, "Oh, how I fell in love with Belinda Carlisle." On the having a we talked about a drive-in. Oh, Selena, you're at the Shatek drive-in theater. Mm-hmm. Tony notes that we should maybe have a multicast radio show at the drive-in, you know, on the screen and over the airwaves. Because as he notes, we're on in the Chippewa Valley, we're on in Amory, we're on in Hayward, we're missing that Rice Lake Market. We need to do something with the drive-in there to reach the market.
Tony got real business right there. Just
Tony's like... got all kinds of plans for us to be busy. You know, it's basically like saying, Brittany, on top of everything else that you're doing, could you also do 24/7 weather?
Right.
You know, so while we've got the camera pointed at you, I mean, you can certainly do it for here where, again, it was suboptimal rain-wise. A lot of folks got rain. Some people got a lot of rain at some point or another. Then there were those other moments where you could get in a little bit of grilling or boating. Did you have some fun yourself?
I did. You know, it turned out pretty decent for me. The only time I got some downpoured rain was while I was out kayaking and fishing. Go figure. Uh-huh. Right? So got soaked. But you know what? It was nice that it was scattered. It wasn't that heavy downpour all constant or on Friday, at least for me. But I had some fun in the Northwoods. How was your weekend?
Really nice. We had a backyard full of folks for the birthday party, again, with kids and grandkids here. Got some time out on the pontoon. Got some time in the river. There was fishing that was done. I should note that our one grandson is 10. He's very 10, and loves to get crawfish out from the rocks and things along the shores of the river. And he got this Tupperware container and brings it, and it had about a dozen crawfish in it. And he comes, and I said, where are you going? What are you going to do with those? I'm going to cook them.
Oh.
And like, okay, well, he's in Idaho, and, you know, his dad's a hunter, hunting guide. They have killed and cooked and cleaned all manner of things. I would not be surprised if crawfish was one of them. And he takes that container up to the house, and his grandma says, not in my kitchen. Are we boiling and eating? No. And so instead he's got a bucket of bait now. But anyway,
I love the daughter of farmers said, not in my house.
No.
There's a time and a place
for everything there. Brittany, yes. we have definitely a back to the 80s theme this week for the weather, and I am here for it.
I like that. Back to the 80s. Mm-hmm. We sure are. Nice and warm today, tomorrow, low 80s in store. Of course, we do have storm chances, very scattered, very widely spread throughout the day today and also tomorrow too. But really trending on the drier side of things as we go through the rest of the week. So that's good news, except for the fact that Hurricane Beryl, right? It just made landfall into Texas this morning. And right now the track is towards the Ohio Valley. If that takes a little slight move, we could see some heavy rain as we push into midweek into parts of southern Wisconsin. I mean, right now, I think Kenosha and Racine could see a good 2 to 4 inches as that pushes through midweek. But otherwise, today, again, just a little bit of cloud cover, a little bit of rain on and off, nothing too major. But if we do see some storms forming, we could get up to an inch of rainfall, especially if it stays in one spot. So keep in mind that some flooding is still potentially a risk today and tomorrow. But the heat is building, especially for the weekend, let me tell you.
Okay.
Would you say the heat notice. Is on?
It could be, yeah.
Nice.
I had forgotten about, it's been a while since we've had a tropical storm hit just right, where then, you know,
Heads our way.
Yep. We get the moisture out of it, so we'll keep an eye on that. Brittany Merlot, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Carol wishes us a good morning from Heartland. Thank you for your comment on Facebook. And let's see, we also had one for, Alicia Saunders wrote in, just another reason to love Greg. And I believe it had something to do with all the Star Wars talk that was going on in our last hour there.
Yeah.
Where Kristen Lyerly was so proud of herself for coming up with Obi Bach Kritenobi and Selena.
And not Selena. Even Princess Selena. We got like Tony Orlando and Dawn.
And Dawn, yeah. So we have to work on Selena's Star Wars name. But other than that, we're fine.
Greg?
I'll come up with something.
It never takes long. Speaking of the 4th of July weekend, and I stay this next story with plenty of experience, having been in plenty of parades as a candidate. The importance of, you know, knowing where you are and what the situation is at any given time. And what I mean by that is that there is a right-wing news outlet in Wisconsin that was trying so hard to make hay out of the fact that Eric Hovde was denied the ability to walk in the Waukesha 4th of July parade, and yet a Democratic candidate was able to march, and, you know, post after post of this is wrong, and how could Eric Hovde be denied? And I had a feeling where this was going, and invariably up came the post going, he forgot to sign up. And they don't, you can't just show up with like a float or a marching band. There's a process.
Yeah.
There's a process.
Gotta have to be a number in the lineup.
Yep. And if you don't, and I have been near the end of parades, you know,
I have planned parades.
Yes. Oh, good. Well, now we get a real insight. Tell me your thoughts on somebody just showing up last moment and going, do you know who I am?
Well, do you know? So you have to plan a parade and space out all the different, the bands and the little dance groups kind of all separately. So they don't, you know, so it took me forever to lay out a parade and then lay them out in the numbers and around the blocks, because I planned the one downtown Eau Claire, the fall festival parade. And oh my heavens, it took me forever just to line them up in a particular order. And some of them didn't want to be by other people. And oh my gosh.
Sure. Oh yeah. I mean, because that's really awkward. I was just talking last week about the guy throwing out, you know, meat seasoning packets, you know, it was right in front of me. My opponent was marching right in front of me. It's like, that's not terrific placement.
Exactly.
I mean, it's easier to plan the seating arrangements at a White House state dinner than it is to do, you know, parades in a mid-sized community where there's politicking going on and rivalries and things like that. So yes, Eric Hovde, you got to sign up. You got to know the rules. And look, even if, and I think I only had this once where we didn't know if we were going to a parade. So I think maybe we didn't sign up or whatever. That's fine. You make arrangements then to go to the community picnic or whatever it is. And you walk around and you shake hands. Here's what you don't do. You don't get on social media and whine.
And blast the community.
That's real smart. You know, so again, Eric Hovde, get it together.
There's something that's very, very fun about, like, when you're in charge of something or you're in a customer service thing where someone comes up to you and they, do you know who I am? Like, yeah, sorry, you're still not getting in. Have a good day.
Wait, is there a velvet rope in front of the laughing tap?
No, all are welcome. Just don't be a jerk.
Okay. There, thank you. I'd like that. All are welcome. Just don't be a jerk. Selena, do you like barbecue ribs?
Yeah. I don't like a lot of barbecue. Just meat.
Meat is good. We got so many. We got so many leftover ribs. We got the birthday party we carried out, you know, five roasters worth of roasted chicken and ribs from Albertville Tavern.
Ooh.
And Albertville, I mean, come on, there's your free commercial, gang. Roasted chicken and ribs. But I think because it's a birthday party and there's, you know, dozens of people there, and people didn't want to shake hands with messy fingers or whatnot, the chicken was a big hit, although chicken's messy too, so I can't quite explain it. We've got so many ribs. We're having barbecue rib omelets for breakfast, you know, a couple times this week. Barbecue rib pizza, something.
You can send those leftovers to WAUK 217 Wisconsin Avenue, Waukesha, Wisconsin. Attention. What was that again? Obi Bach Crichton Obi.
Yes, there we go. Anyway,
put them in the freezer.
Yeah, I think there's going to be something. I will say again though, and I know I've mentioned this a couple of different times, air fryer, game changer. Barbecue ribs, no matter where you got them from, no matter what the case, if you've got leftover ribs the next day in an air fryer, they are better than what you had the day before. It just guaranteed. It just is what it is. But that was all good. Glad that you had a lot of fun. And when we come back after the break, we'll talk to you about the Olympics and about a Wisconsin woman who's going to be in the Olympics. And we're going to talk about the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, which kicks off Wednesday, right?
Yes, we are. All of that.
Yeah, we've got a busy week ahead right up here in Chippewa Falls to tell you all about. But first, at 7:18, a little bit of sports here. Christian Yelich and Blake Perkins both homered, both had three hits, both drove in three runs as the Brewers beat the Dodgers 9-2. The Brewers had dropped the first two games of the series and extended their losing streak at Dodger Stadium to seven games before breaking that streak yesterday. Starter Dallas Keuchel didn't allow a run in 4 1/3 innings of work. He gave up three hits and he walked five. The Brewers come home. They're off today. Then they're home for six. Three against Pittsburgh, three against the Washington Nationals, all starting tomorrow before next week's All-Star break. Back with more after this. Live from Lake Wasota, this is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it. And I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring, and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Hey kids, want to have a spirited discussion? Bring up religion and popular music. This is Joan Osborne with God is One of Us. Joan Osborne turning 62 years old today. Yeah, that song didn't spark any discussions whatsoever, did it, Greg?
Mr. Dank in 11th grade religion studies at CMH, Catholic Memorial High School, right here in Waukesha, spent an entire class blasting this song for being blasphemous. Suggesting the idea that God would be like one of us, comparing him to a slob, and a bunch of us, like 16, 17 year old, you know, struggling artists with tons of causeless anger, just going, you realize it's like metaphor, right? And like artistic, like it's a poem, basically, right?
Like basically, like out of the Bible, as you treat the least of those.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Well, he was also, he's like, I live my life 100% by the Bible. Everything the Bible says I do. I'm like, that's problematic, dude.
Let's bring out Leviticus here, shall we? Let's have some talk about that. Okay. Yeah, it's, I like, somebody did, and then we won't get any deeper into this, but I do like that somebody pointed out, for all the things that are cited biblically in politics these days, why aren't the Beatitudes among them? We're not hearing that nearly enough.
I agree.
Okay. Pivoting now to our daily newsletter. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter at the top of the homepage, and eventually you're going to be hearing more and more about the Paris Olympic Games coming up this summer. One note from the Olympic team from Greece. The basketball team includes one Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he is now an Olympian. He scored 23 points for Greece as they held off Croatia in one of the final qualifying tournament rounds being held to determine the 12-team field for the Paris Games. So we get to track Giannis and see, I don't know if or when Greece would go up against Team USA, but obviously that would be a big, fun game to watch. And Selena, we are, of course, watching for Wisconsinites who are heading to the Olympic Games as well.
Oh, we are. And some elementary school kids get to talk to one of them this morning. So they're talking to Eau Claire native Mary Tyson Lappin, who's going to the Olympics as a weightlifter. And she was a track and field athlete, and she competed in shot put in college. And then I believe she was a coach, track and field coach at UW Oshkosh, and then became a weightlifter.
Wow. Okay. And when you mentioned shot put, though, and track and field, and I think about all the things that our poor FIAD teachers, you know, tried to make us do. I mean, you had that. Do they still have the Presidential Physical Fitness Award?
They do.
Okay.
Yes.
I laugh about that one because I was always the one who, just the really skinny kid who was able to do the most sit-ups.
Oh.
I don't know what happened to that skinny kid. But he is neither skinny nor able to do sit-ups with any regularity any longer.
I had a record in our middle school for a long time for sit-ups.
Did you really?
I did. I was my name was up on a wall.
Wow. Yeah.
Did you have like a V sit and reach and all of that too?
the sit and reach. Yeah, I forgot about that.
All that good stuff.
You look at some of them now, and of course they have their roots, you know, in ancient Greece. And so like the shot put, for example, not to take anything away from the folks who can do it, but you know, now our big thing is what? Throwing a football. You know, if you were to create the Olympics from scratch today, it would probably involve, you know, throwing a ball rather than, you know, the action of a shot put is not really something we do much anymore. The other one that comes to my mind is the triple jump. I get the long jump, but they still have that triple jump where you kind of have to do those three galloping steps before you jump. And each one looks like they're going to crush their spine because they're hitting the ground so hard on those three steps. And yet they do it. We also tried to do, we built at our apartment complex, we set up something where we could do the high jump. And so you do that run and then you do that flop, you know, over the bar. And I'm sure, don't hold me to it, but I'm almost positive what we did was we pulled a mattress out of a garbage dumpster said, hey, we could hold our own Olympics now, you know, because I mean, we really were like the idiot kids in the Little Rascals cartoons, you know, just making the most of whatever we could find.
Pat Kreitlow is not an athlete or an expert. Please do not try this at home.
Please do not salvage mattresses from dumpsters
in the floor.
Yep. So we would, that's what we would do. But I'm sure both of you had childhood games that were, you know, much less dangerous and not nearly as idiotic as, you know, the kids we were at the time.
There was like the Red Rovers. Kids don't play Red Rovers.
Oh, Red Rovers, a great one. How are there not more, you know, bones sticking out of wrists from compound fractures from playing games of Red Rover?
Uh-huh. That was a good one.
Back in my day, you went to the hospital after you played with your friends.
Sort of break through all those people.
We actually talked about that last night, listening to a couple of the kids running around in the yard after dark. And I mean, we played out in the dark all the time. We'd play flashlight tag or, you know, all kinds of things. And now it's like, oh, my eyes, they aren't adjusting. I don't like it out here in the dark now. But, you know, you worry that they're going to, you know, crash into something and need stitches. Well, that led to all the stories of family gatherings or neighborhood gatherings where some kid did end up, you know, needing stitches or something. My one daughter broke her arm being flipped out of a hammock. There was a broken collarbone. Sherry, being a physician, it's sometimes really handy to have skin glue in the medicine cabinet.
Oh yeah. You know?
Nice. So I guess it's just, thank goodness kids by and large bounce.
Yeah, no kidding. We went we always go, and a couple of weeks ago we did this, went and looked for lightning bugs. So that, not too dangerous, but at night in the dark.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I wanted to, before we forget, at 7:27, mention that with the Northern Wisconsin State Fair starting today, I mean, you've been a regular presence at the fairgrounds in Chippewa Falls going way back, and we're talking to Rusty Volk from the fair on Wednesday, right?
Yes, the executive director of the fair. He will come on to talk about, well, pretty much anything you want, because he can talk about it.
I showed
up there last year, yeah. And I was walking around on one of the, like, the maybe the day before, and he's like, get in the golf cart. And he just proceeded just to drive around and then tell me everything about the fair.
We had my old co-anchor Judy Clark was here on Saturday, and we mentioned that. And, you know, she's been interviewing Rusty for forever, and told the story of how one time there was like a septic truck was in the shot as they were about to go live, you know, during one of the newscasts. So that would have been one thing, but instead what you had is Rusty was going to be helpful and get the truck to move back. So the show opens up and there's a septic tank going backward. Beep, beep, beep. Rusty waving it so that it gets out of the shot. You know, well intentioned. Just didn't work out. But yeah, we're looking forward to getting up to the fair and hearing all about, you're going to talk about the education aspect up there. There's a lot for kids to do and learn about when they're a part of it.
Well, there is, if they're showing their projects or if they're showing their animals. I think I'm also going to talk to some farmers, just kind of the role of farmers in the economy these days and things like that. But the new thing at the fair this year, Rusty was telling me on the phone the other day, the showmanship for the kids, you know, okay, so I looked this up so I could say it correctly. Showing an animal is no small feat, but showing an animal that isn't yours is a whole other story. The participants of this new competition are skilled showmen, as they have been selected as top of their beef, dairy, sheep, or swine senior showmanship class in order to compete in the Master Showman competition. See, so they have to show all the animals that aren't theirs.
You are going to be one busy reporter. Thank you, Selena. Have a great day.
You too.
More after this. You're up north.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
About a month from now, Wisconsin will recognize century and sesquicentennial farms that dot the state. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. In fact, during your 4th of July break, you could have driven right by those century sesquicentennial farms. One, in Door County, for example. Patrick Schley is celebrating his family's centennial farm in Door County. He says the story about how his grandfather chose to come to America to escape war and start a new life inspires him every day.
Wolfgang had left his parents and his homeland, and he came to America in 1875. He was 19 years old. He was sent here by his parents because there was the Persian War was going on then, and they didn't want him to fight there, so they put him on a boat to come here. And I guess from the story that Mom had said yesterday, the police were looking for him when he got on the boat, and there was a couple on that boat, and they pulled him toward him. And I think the mother or the woman hugged him up and said, well, this is my son. So the police left him alone, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Patrick Schley talking about his great-grandfather, Wolfgang, who came to Wisconsin back in 1878 to start farming. That farm's still in Door County today. We'll be helping the Wisconsin State Fair to recognize those century and sesquicentennial farms all year long. You can find out more. Go to our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. You can listen to previous honorees as well as get a preview of some of this year's honorees there.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lapenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
And if you're looking for a little change up on your summer fare or options for the grill, think bison. July is National Bison Month at our Wisconsin Bison Producers, letting you know it's easier to find than ever. In fact, they've got a website where you can purchase Wisconsin bison online. Go to wisconsinbison.com and celebrate. I'm PM Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible today. It'll be mostly cloudy with a high right around 80. Rain, maybe 1 to 2 tenths of an inch by the time it winds down this evening. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 67. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
One of the state's biggest and best farmers markets is right here in Waukesha. Join thousands of your neighbors this Saturday morning between 8 and noon at the corner of St. Paul and Madison along the Fox River. Fresh produce, crafts, flowers, food, and gift ideas of all kinds are on display and on sale. We'll check in live each Saturday morning on WAUK, too. Plan to stock up this Saturday at the Waukesha Farmers Market and stop by our WAUK tent to say hi and register to win a brand new Logger bike. We can't wait to see you.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to be here this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Monday for a very special Devils Advocates Radio show, the Joe Biden Hangover from Madison, and Dom joins us. Tune in Monday.
The Devils Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
And Toby Keith was born this day 63 years ago. It is 7:34 now on Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Nice to have you along here on this Monday morning, July 8th. And we're going to talk just a little bit here about political mischief and the many ways that voters can be tricked, for lack of a better word, into doing something they might not otherwise do. And it's going to lead us to some constitutional amendments that are being proposed by legislative Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature and will be on the ballot this August 13th, which will be the primary election. Now, a primary election typically gets a low voter turnout, especially the August one. By and large, many of the ballot spots for this November are already set up. But there are some high-profile exceptions, the 3rd Congressional District being one of them, where there are three Democratic candidates, each looking for the ability to take on Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden come November. But because of these referendum questions on the ballot now, there is more reason than ever for every Wisconsin voter to either show up and vote in the August 13th election, or better yet, send in an absentee ballot if there's no other races that you want to vote on or you don't know that you're going to make it to the polling place on election day. You can go to myvote.wi.gov and you can find out more about getting registered to vote and getting absentee ballots sent to you. And by the way, you only have to do it one time, going to that website. And it's you can sign up to have absentee ballots sent to you for every election in a calendar year, which for the rest of this year, of course, would mean August. But then they will go ahead and send you an absentee ballot for November when the time is right as well. And then you won't have to worry about standing in line or if something comes up, if there's weather, something work or family related. But to get back to voting on August 13th, however you do it, one way or another, let's talk about the constitutional referendum issues that are going to be on there and how they actually would delay or threaten some of the funding that we would be getting through various programs other than just the state budget. Because the state budget itself has its own issues. We've talked about it a few times here about how legislative Republicans are sitting on $125 million designed to clean up PFAS contamination in Wisconsin water. They're sitting on $50 million designed to implement a reading and literacy program in Wisconsin schools. They're sitting on $15 million in money designed to go to West Central Wisconsin for a healthcare crisis with two hospitals closing. They've also been sitting on money that was supposed to go through the Wisconsin Stewardship Program for land purchases. Now, the land purchases won through the stewardship program. The Wisconsin State Supreme Court late last week put an end to that and said that in this case of the stewardship program, you can't sit on that money. It's been approved. It should go for the executive branch, the Department of Natural Resources, the governor's office, what have you, to put that money to work. Okay, so that one's been taken off the table. But they're still sitting on other areas like PFAS and reading and literacy and healthcare. This is money already approved in the state budget. And yet the state legislature claims that it has the power to hold on to the money and not spend it until they can get Democratic Governor Tony Evers to agree to their terms on how it should be spent to micromanage the money. Well, these constitutional amendments would do the same thing, would allow the legislature to do the same thing, but this time with federal funds. And I would remind you now to go back to that pandemic relief measure known as the American Rescue Plan. The American Rescue Plan, in the throes of a pandemic recession, when there were legitimate concerns that we could be seeing a global depression, and Congress came together in the early days of the Biden administration. They worked on the American Rescue Plan. And the American Rescue Plan did, this is just some of what it did for Wisconsin. There was nearly $7 billion in direct stimulus aid to 2.7 million households. Remember those checks for like $1,400 or more that was a lifesaver to families that still had to pay the bills, but they weren't working because of the pandemic. There was nearly $4 billion that went to Wisconsin small businesses through the Paycheck Protection Program. There was $1.5 billion in relief to beleaguered school districts. There were 1 million children that were impacted by an expanded child tax credit. There was $2 billion that went directly to Wisconsin municipalities to help out with local services and infrastructure programs and COVID vaccination infrastructure. But then there was $2.7 billion for state government aid. And in the American Rescue Plan, governors were given sole discretion on what to do with those funds. And Governor Tony Evers distributed that $2.7 billion in areas like small business grants, pandemic response, infrastructure funding, broadband, internet, anything that would help the economy recover. And in fact, Wisconsin's economy did recover faster than most other states. Because of the direct investments that Governor Evers made with that more than $2 billion in federal aid. Legislative Republicans were not happy about this. They passed bills saying that we want a say in how this money is spent. But keep in mind, these are the same Republican legislators who have sat on a multi-billion dollar surplus for the past several years. And what they will tell you privately, if not always publicly, is the reason they're sitting on that surplus, the reason they're not putting your money to work for you, is they were hoping that Tim Michaels, remember him, the Connecticut businessman who ran against Tony Evers? They were hoping that he would win the governorship and that he and the Republican-led legislature could then take most of that surplus and use it for tax cuts geared toward the very wealthy. And that didn't happen, but it didn't stop the caterwauling about the American Rescue Plan and the ability of the governor to be able to invest it as he saw fit. And that is what takes us to the constitutional amendment and these federal tax dollars coming to us. From the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, our federal tax dollars are essential, supporting everything from farmers and small businesses to food banks and education. Adding unnecessary red tape will only slow down the process, keeping crucial resources from reaching those in need. We must ensure that our governor can allocate these funds efficiently and effectively. What they're saying in so many words is this: if these constitutional amendments were to pass that are being sold under the guise of, you know, letting the legislature have a say in the spending of federal funds, it's actually giving the legislature the ability to sit on the funds, to not do anything with the funds, and to say at the end of it, look, we actually sent some of this money back to Washington. Aren't we good for saving this money? Rather than investing in people and in small businesses and in public health. The League of Women Voters statement goes on, when lawmakers serving under gerrymandered, non-representative voting maps pass knee-jerk laws, it hinders a governor's ability to act. So this August, join us in voting no on both constitutional amendment questions in order to maintain a just, efficient, and timely distribution of federal funds for all Wisconsinites. When Wisconsin gets federal funds, again from the League of Women Voters, it's our tax money that we paid to the IRS coming back to us. Don't let the legislature create obstacles for our communities and play partisan games with our money. We can't afford delays when crises and disasters strike. And you'd say, well, who would be against spending money for aid when crises and disasters strike? And I would point you to the United States Congress, where we've noticed over the past, you know, decade or so, a very disturbing trend of certain members of Congress voting no on federal disaster relief until a disaster happens to them. then they're right there with the press releases saying, you know, I'm going to be getting every dime that we have coming for us in light of this natural disaster. And now, quite frequently, some of these same members are being called out for the hypocrisy of voting no previously when there was a disaster in some other state. Now, these questions on these ballots like this, they're, you know, they're rarely worded in plain English. And not only is the wording vague, but then you get into this whole word salad of salesmanship. For example, here's the first question that you'll see on the ballot August 13th. It goes like this. Question one, delegation of appropriation power. Shall Section 35, Part 1 of Article 4 of the Constitution be created to provide that the legislature may not delegate its sole power to determine how money shall be appropriated? And question two, allocation of federal monies. Shall Section 35, Part 2 of Article 4 of the Constitution be created to prohibit the governor from allocating any federal monies the governor accepts on behalf of the state without the approval of the legislature by joint resolution or as provided by legislative rule? And people look at that and, well, frankly, I don't know what most people would say or think reading that at first blush. And that's why there's going to be such a push between now and August 13th for asking voters to vote no. Now, maybe at first blush, when you see something that says, you know, the legislature or without approval of the legislature by joint resolution, I would completely understand if people would say, well, wait a minute, don't we want the legislative branch to be involved in this? Should we really be giving, you know, governors the sole discretion on what to do with this? And, you know, Tony's absolutely right hearing about the referendums, and he says word salad, and he's right. And his comment as well on YouTube is, are these referendums binding? And yes, they are. They would become amendments to the Constitution. But here's the issue with the concern that, you know, the legislature somehow being, quote unquote, cut out of the process. There was a time and place for the longest time in America where that was an extremely valid concern, because there was a time and place in America where both parties wanted to solve problems, where both parties wanted to address big challenges. But I tell you, if there's a soundbite I probably should put on speed dial, it's the one about Ron Johnson saying he likes that this Congress isn't doing anything, that this Congress isn't passing bills, because in so many words, he said, well, if we pass legislation, we're just like, you know, we're like Democrat light. Passing bills and solving problems is not Democrat light. It's what Americans do. It's what American public officials do, is they see a challenge or they see a problem or they see a crisis and they work to address it. But we've increasingly seen, just from one political party, a willingness to block funds that are designed to help people in the guise of, quote unquote, reducing waste and reducing spending. And yet we never hear that when, say, you're blowing a $2 trillion hole in the budget deficit for tax cuts for the rich, which is primarily what the Trump 2017 plan was. And so it is the record of recent Republican legislators that this constitutional amendment opposition is based on. It's not that the legislature is being cut out of a process. It's that the legislature has cut itself out of the process of actually addressing a pandemic or a multi-billion dollar surplus or reading and literacy issues or a healthcare crisis or industrial chemicals in our water. They're not willing to do anything to solve those problems that doesn't involve playing political games. And that's what they want to do again, is play games with the state constitution and be able to sit on more money that is designed to help people in Wisconsin. When we come back, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell will have three things you need to know to get the work week started after the long holiday break. That's coming up next. You're up north. I might wait another day.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
At Fleet Farm, We know every sunny day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday fishing gear, from Rapala, Berkeley, and Minn Kota. Everyday grilling goods, from Weber, Kingsford, and Blackstone. Everyday camping gear, from Coleman, Yeti, and Eureka. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Civic Media News Director Terry Bell joins us now at just about 9 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Monday morning, getting reset after a long weekend. How was your long weekend, Terry? Actually, not as long, I suppose, because Friday you had the President Biden in town. You had Supreme Court decisions. It probably was just another two-day weekend for you.
I worked Thursday, and yeah, I covered the president on Friday. But, you know, even when you're working on a holiday, and even when there's a lot going on a holiday, it's a different vibe, and I would even dare say a little relaxing.
Well, good. Well, no, you can dare say it. It's okay to relax. And once again, you sit still too long and the motion detector. Oh, you figured out now if you just stand up for a moment, the lights come back on.
A little too well.
Yeah. Look, it's a nice energy saving measure, but imagine if they did it with more things. Like, what if Greg and I just sat still long enough and the motion detector just shut off the transmitter? Said, well, there's nobody there.
Yeah. It says, well, I mean, I do work in an office where it's you can kind of have to sit still for long periods of time.
And, yeah. Yeah. Best intentions. So anyway, the president was in Madison on Friday delivering a speech. Obviously, there is still all of this chatter. I've made my feelings very well known on the chatter versus, you know, the realism that we have in our political systems. But that's not going to stop people from talking about what is, in my mind, just the newest chapter. There's always chapters in a campaign. And this is the chapter we're in right now, post-debate. And that is people talking about Biden's age and performance and Senate Democrats. Some congressional Democrats are among them.
And they are talking today. It's their first day back from the holiday, just like a lot of us. And both Democrats in both houses are huddling. In the U.S. House, they're huddling remotely. And the U.S. Senate Democrats are meeting in person. At least Mark Warner of Virginia was efforting to get that meeting together last I checked. So they're going to have a lot to talk about. The story here in Wisconsin is how little Tammy Baldwin has had to say about it. And that's interesting about that. Been getting a lot of coverage.
We got that as well, though, in 2010. And that was when, you know, I lost my seat in the legislature. And it was the, I forget how then President Obama, if he termed it a shellacking, I think he did. And yeah, there was a lot of chatter about, you know, well, don't talk about President Obama right now. You know, he's not very popular. And again, you can go one of two ways on that. I chose to go in the way of like, well, he's our president and I approve of the job he's doing. Others will take that advice to heart of, you know, run your campaign, which is what Tammy Baldwin and countless others are doing in close races. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. Tammy Baldwin's got to win Tammy Baldwin's race. But yeah, when you do that, it gets noticed and it gets talked about. And that is the nature of the political beast in this country.
I think it's going to be, I think the thing is, it's a long way till November. Yes. And elections are almost never determined by events from July.
No, they are not. But here's what we do know about elections in Wisconsin that we know now in July that will apply to November. And that's the drop boxes are back. And again, that is because of a change in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, that option is now available to voters again.
Mm-hmm. And that was widely expected. The ballot drop box case was expected to get to the Supreme Court, and during oral arguments in May, if you will, listen carefully to the liberal justices' line of questioning, you know, it was pretty much expected that this would happen. So, yeah, ballot drop boxes are back. You know, Democrats largely support them. Republicans have been fighting them. But even so, this year they've taken a different track and encouraging Republican voters to get out and use these ballot drop boxes. And, you know, this could especially, this could be helpful to Republicans in rural districts that tend to lean red. And, you know, ballot drop boxes tend to help voters who are, you know, have difficulty getting around, are older, don't have transportation. A lot of, you know, breakdown groups that tend to vote Republican.
I am so glad to hear you say that, because for all of the talk, all the talk that kind of vilified drop boxes was that, oh, that's a big city thing. And there was that, you know, 2000 mules thing that, you know, they're being stuffed when there was no evidence of that. The fact of the matter is drop boxes are as valuable, if not more so, in some rural or Republican-led communities because of their convenience. Both it works both ways. They are needed in urban and rural areas, and they are sorely missed in urban and rural areas.
Yeah, yeah, and it could be a big game changer for Wisconsin. I mean, when you make voting accessible to more people, you know, you'll get oftentimes a much different outcome than you do if you restrict voting.
Yeah, you sure could. And more voting, you know, by eligible voters is a good thing. All right, we talked a bit about this throughout the show, but you've got it more specific to when I talk about the Republican legislature and, you know, what it does with either withholding or not allocating funds. And the one thing I didn't mention that I know you're going to is that the state Supreme Court decision specifically looks at the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, the joint being Assembly and Senate, that writes the budget. And it's the Joint Finance Committee that the state Supreme Court essentially reined in.
Right. So here in Wisconsin, even when it might seem that a matter is settled either by executive action or the legislature and then the governor, if it's a matter of spending, there's still one more step beyond that. And that's the Joint Finance Committee, a committee made up of lawmakers in both houses from both parties. And since it's been controlled by Republicans, especially in the past calendar year or so, we've seen a lot of initiatives being held up that are perhaps the governor. Initiatives that Republican leaders who control that do not like. So they've been holding that up. The Supreme Court ruled on Friday that that's an overreach, that it is a violation of the constitutional guarantee of separation of powers. And justices ruled that, you know, lawmakers should not be stepping in and taking, you know, powers away from the governor by fiat. So we'll see if that will, you would expect it would, the land conservation purchase program, that should be restored. Some early childhood literacy programs, that could loosen up some funding for them. It still remains to be seen, though, the Governor Evers would like the committee to loosen up money for PFAS cleanup, but that was part of a bill that he vetoed himself. So it's not sure if that would apply to this or not.
Right. It might be a very narrow ruling, but it is a reminder of the ongoing battles at the state capitol in what is for you, I imagine, the calm before the storm, since the Republican National Convention takes place in Milwaukee next week.
Yeah, well, there's still a lot of legwork this week, so the work
so
is
not that calm.
Essentially underway. Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a busy, busy couple of weeks.
Okay, we appreciate it, Terry. Thank you so much.
Thank
Civic
you,
Media News Director Terry Bell. Greg will be a part of Matt and Air on Air coming up in just 2 hours. Right. Still, I always have to make sure that she didn't like, you know,
yes,
tell you not to show up or anything like that. OK, good. Just wanted to make sure. Hey, Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day.
You're listening to the Shaw WAUK. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up in the show, we'll talk to the Humane Handling Institute about different ways to raise and slaughter our animals. Interesting discussion. Hope you'll join us.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
as a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.